Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because our good friend Paul Howard is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Paul Howard is Senior Fellow and Director of the Manhattan Institute's Center for Medical Progress, and he is here to talk to us today about the stimulus package, especially with regard to Medicaid. And of course, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to weave in some of my thoughts on what's happening with small businesses. But it's all basically the same concept. It's all around our government just becoming a bunch of, as Reagan would call them, a bunch of drunken sailors. And as he would say, they're giving drunken sailors a bad name. And so one of the reasons why we're covering this, folks, and it's because this is important for small businesses, and your voice is important right now, small business owners. You and all other Americans who are weighing in on this are causing this new government to pause and say, you know what, yeah, we got elected, but we can't just shove things down people's throats. And we're going to see what Paul has to say. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you back. What do you think? Is that what's happening? Is Barack Obama and the Democrat Congress, are they realizing that, yeah, we won the election, as they quickly pointed out, but are they realizing that that doesn't give them license to shove bad legislation down America's throats?
Well, it's been really interesting to watch, as I'm sure you know, the popularity of the stimulus bill has been plummeting like a rock over the last couple of weeks. I think people realize that there's a lot in the bill that's just, you know, spending for spending's sake rather than really targeted to get the economy moving again.
Well, you know, when a lot of people think that President Obama, which I was one of the people who was hoping that he would have a good fast start and would now I'm not hoping that he would at the expense of sanity of reason of what's reasonable, but I do think it's important for our government to get, you know, to be functioning properly, but I think that they found out something that we learned actually I think last September, Paul, and that was when they tried to pass the TARP bill the first time. Americans came out by the millions and said, we don't like this, and now they're saying the same thing about this stimulus package. And what they've done, in my opinion, is they've let Pelosi and Stark and Waxman wax them. What do you think?
I think that's perfectly put. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, which is that they've really let Congress take the initiative, write the bill and provide the bill, and then say, well, we've got to pass this. And I think you're right, too, about the feeling about TARP, which was you've got this emergency, quote-unquote, piece of legislation you're going to pass with not a whole lot of debate or discussion and radically expand spending, you know, for things like Medicaid, where the governors, you know, the Governors Association had asked for, I think, $40 billion in new spending.
Yep.
And instead, Congress is going to give them close to $100 billion in new spending. So, you know, they're using the argument that this is a crisis and we've got to move ahead as quickly as possible to do a lot of things. And as the New York Times even said, you know, push the Democrats' wish list that they've been wanting to do for the last 4 years.
If you've got the New York Times saying these things, some of the things that they've had, you realize how far they've gone. And by the way, feel free to use my quote there. He got waxed by Waxman. You can use that anytime you want to. But anyway, you know, I've been making another point recently, Paul, about this. If you remember back prior to 2001, September 11th, 2001, I should say, we had a balanced budget. Nobody wanted to pierce that veil.
Right.
But after 9/11, when we had to, no Republican, no Democrat would touch that third rail for fear of dying. And after 9/11, when we all realized we had to spend money because we had to protect ourselves, we had to wage a war on these guys, then all bets were off. And then after that, what we're seeing right now, we saw after 9/11, members of Congress started sticking everything they wanted in the bills that they were getting for defense. for their own, you know, their local areas. And I think this—I think the same thing is happening right now. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. I mean, there was the quote, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, from the president's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who basically said, to paraphrase him, that, you know, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are, you know, using that opportunity in Congress to stick in, you know, things that may not be really related to, you know, arguably at least, trying to stimulate job creation, and really just, you know, finding their pet program and sticking an extra $5, $10, $20 billion on it.
Well, my big deal, the area that I cover is small business. And there's almost nothing in this trillion-plus dollar bill. There's almost nothing in there for small businesses that we didn't already have. And so what's that going to do to help the largest job-creating sector in the country create a new job or keep a new employee? There's almost nothing in there for that. But your area is in the area of Medicare. Medicaid. Talk to us about what you've learned.
Well, you know, they've got an additional $87 billion in new Medicaid funding in the program, in the stimulus bill, and they've done that by increasing the federal share of funding. Now, the program is kind of schizophrenic. Federal government pays close to 60% of the program funding for Medicaid, which is the health insurance program for the poor. The states pick up about 40% of that funding. And, you know, what this means is during boom times, states tend to ramp up their Medicaid funding, you know, as state income taxes mm-hmm. and other revenues are high, and then go hat in hand to Uncle Sam when times get tough and ask for more money. But what this means is program costs tend to spend up very quickly because no one's really accountable for the final bill. And even last year, the Medicaid actuary, which is the bean counter over there at the mm-hmm. Health and Human Services, said program costs are going to go up 8% a year for the next 10 years, and we're going to have over $600 billion of Medicaid spending by, 2018, 2019. So all that money is really going to have to come out of the states' budgets, because although the feds are going to be spending faster, states are going to, you know, ramp up their spending to match that, because they do think it's kind of a free lunch. And that's going to affect the bottom line, because it's going to be taken out of the taxes. It's going to fall on new levies on small businesses.
And we already know that throwing more money after Medicaid does not make it more efficient.
Absolutely. And I know that really well, living in the nation's most expensive Medicaid state, New York.
Right.
We're spending thousands more per enrollee than the national average and getting, you know, really only mediocre outcomes.
Paul, hold on to that thought. When we come back, we're going to talk about this a little more. But also, I'm going to get Paul to tell us Speaker of the House Pelosi meant when she said the S-CHIP program was a down payment on universal health care. 20 after. Stay with us.
And he makes it fast with one more thing.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Stone's bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Hope you use it to your advantage. We built it for you and your small business, to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Check out my newsletter. You can see an example there of what it looks like and subscribe. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon. You can check out my blog, which we update on a regular basis. You can listen to the show lots of different ways, live, replay, archives, and lots of handy tools there. Don't forget the Small Business Minutes, the Motivational Minutes, the Write This on a Rock section is there. Lots and lots of stuff to help you with your small business. Paul Howard is with us, folks. Dr. Paul Howard is a senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute, and he's director of the Center for Medical Progress. Paul, I don't know if you feel that you finish your thought on the Medicaid problem that this new stimulus package is going to exacerbate, but I do want you to, you feel free to come back with anything else you have there. But I also want you to weave into this thing something I'm very much concerned about for small businesses, and that's this notion of universal health care. In the last 10 days, Speaker Pelosi and President Obama have used almost the same language when talking about the state children's health insurance program by saying this is a down payment on universal health care. Now, I'm going to turn it over to you, but help us understand some of this stuff.
Well, you know, you and I were talking just a moment ago during the break about, you know, where things are going, and I think that, you know, although you know, President Obama campaigned on a platform of, gee, you know, if you've got the you know, whatever insurance you have right now or whatever health care you have right now, you can keep it. I'm not going to change that. Private health insurance is going to be a major part of reform. I think there are a lot of Democrats now who feel that, look, elections have consequences, and we'd prefer to move to a single-payer system. Why are we having this debate about keeping private health insurance?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that they're really pushing that argument. They pushed it by substantially expanding Medicaid and even making Medicaid for the first time open to the unemployed regardless of income. So if you're a laid-off Wall Street investment banker and you made $300,000 last year, you could still be eligible for this program. And then again, we have the federal government now paying for expansions of what's called COBRA. So if you lose your job but you want to keep your health insurance, the federal government's going to pitch in with, I think, a...
That's part of the stimulus bill, right?
That's part of the stimulus bill. That's right. And then you've got FCHIP expansion, which went up from 200% of the federal poverty level, which I think was around $25,000 or so,
right,
up to now double that, $44,000. Or even in New York or other places, 300% of the poverty level,
yep,
you know, which is making upwards of $60,000 or $80,000.
I heard that it was 400%, more like $84,000.
I think in New York,
meaning that's the household income, ladies and gentlemen, that you could that you could make and still qualify for your children to get government health care.
Now we know that we've got an enormous mess on the horizon with our entitlements, and that's Medicare.
Yeah.
Medicaid,
they're bankrupt.
Social Security.
They're bankrupt.
But this is just it's adding to the pressure on the program, because once you sweep these people into these programs, you know that they're going to keep getting funded. Congress is not going to roll back funding for the program.
Nope.
And so it becomes that much harder to keep a private element in the healthcare debate.
Here's what I don't understand, Paul. We have to look no farther than Canada and Europe to see that the single-payer programs, even though some of those countries have pretty good systems, it comes at an enormous expense to the citizens.
Right.
It comes basically by having quasi-socialism in those countries, by the tax burden. I've been to these countries in Europe, and I've asked the citizens, the small business owners in those countries, about their tax burden. And I'm telling you something. If we had that tax burden in America, nobody would start a small business.
Right. You know that you know much better than I do that really you know, the U.S. economy, with its commitment to relatively light regulation and hopefully lower taxation on net, although who knows where things are going, is much more of an engine of job creation than those economies.
Yep.
That if you don't have a job in Europe and you're young, chances are it's going to be extraordinarily hard for you to find a job. So moving from the system that we've got now into a system where the tax is going to be substantially higher to create, you know, quote unquote, a safety net, which more like maybe a hammock for some people, is going to make it that much harder for small businesses to compete and survive.
Well, this final bill, this final stimulus bill, which we're going to wind up with in a week or so, is it going to, in your area of expertise in the Medicaid, is that going to be pared down, or is it going to go through as it's written?
My sense from what I've been reading is it'll probably go through pretty much as it's written, at least from what I've been reading this morning in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere. If there are going to be any cuts or compromises between the Senate and the House bills, they're not going to come in Medicaid. There may be a change that I'm not aware of, so that could happen. But I think that what it is doing is, you know, if you're serious about entitlement reform, if you're worried about those costs that are going to be hitting the economy in just a few years when the baby boomers really start to retire in 2011, then you've got to be concerned about this, because we're adding to the entitlement programs. We're expanding them. We're not trying to find any way to get them under control.
Yeah, it's pouring gasoline on a fire, basically, is what it's doing. And sadly, there's I haven't heard anyone talking about adding anything to this thing that would help small businesses, and that's very unfortunate. Hey, Paul, give us the website there.
It's www.medicalprogresstoday is our website, medicalprogresstoday.com.
Medicalprogresstoday.com. Also, manhattan-institute.com. Hey, Paul, thanks for being here. Good job today. Keep up the fight.
Thank you very much, Jim.
See you next time. Quick break.
Take care.
29 after. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.